Well, here in the Midwest, it was probably one of the big stories of the year. And it has several angles, not only sports and celebrity and big money, $250 million over 10 years, also religion. What was the media coverage? How has the media coverage of Albert Pujols' decision, coupled with his Christian faith, to take $250 million with the Angels over a 10-year period, how has that been covered? Has a religious angle been sufficiently explored by the media? There's also a story about a firing of a Macy's employee for refusing to let a transgendered woman use the women's dressing room. Wow. How do you write that story in the first place? Joining us to talk about these two stories, Bobby Ross Jr. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, that's my question for you. Given the size of this contract and given the fact that Albert Pujols is one of the most outspoken Christian athletes in the United States and the world, in fact, what questions should the media be asking of Albert Pujols?
Well, I think the most basic question, and probably the question on the mind of a lot of Christians, particularly those in St. Louis, is why did you take the money and run, so to speak? Why was it so important to have such a large contract? Could you not live on $210 million in St. Louis as opposed to $250 million? In Anaheim? And, you know, where does pride come into this? Where does greed come into this? Does this allow you to do more good works? Or, you know, just try to get inside his head a little bit and figure out how someone who is known as an outspoken evangelical Christian, how they balance that side of their life with the apparent decision to go take the highest bid and go there.
So, here in the Midwest, we were just waiting with bated breath to see what would happen. I think around the country, only a little less so. Do you see it as an obligation of the media to help clear up some of the questions that people may have about Pujols in particular, but also about Christian athletes and the money that they take? Tim Tebow is going to be paid pretty well here probably when his contract comes back around, because at least the way he's performing now. Do you think the media has a responsibility to do this in particular for Christian athletes who take this kind of dough?
I don't know if responsibility might be a bit strong, because, I mean, you're talking about sports writers, and obviously probably their first priority is how is this going to affect the Cardinals on the field, or do they have a chance to get back to the World Series? Do the Angels have a chance to overtake the Rangers? But I think, you know, as you go just a little bit below the surface from a reporting standpoint, I think that it is something that would be important for the media to try to do some, you know, more reporting and to give people a better picture of who this person is and what makes them tick, and is the Christianity really something that's a part of them, or is it just, you know, is it all talk and no action?
For Pujols, he largely portrayed the decision as one, I'm trying to be fair here, guided by God. He prayed about it. I mean, a lot of people say that. But when
right.
Pujols says that, it means something other than when just any old athlete says, I prayed about
right.
it. He has not portrayed it largely as a dollars and cents decision or even a career decision, as much
right.
as guided by God. What do you think the media should be looking for there?
Well, I think it's just, I mean, I think you need to ask him some questions. And I know his wife, I read a report from ESPN where she was upset with the way he was being portrayed there in St. Louis, and a little upset with the idea that it was all about the money. And she kind of had mentioned, you know, originally that maybe the Cardinals had only offered a 5-year contract. And I kind of got the impression that maybe she and Albert took that as a little bit of a slap in the face, as far as them saying, we want you here forever, but we're only going to start out with offering 5 years. And, you know, then there was a quote that kind of stood out to me where she said, it's just like God to put us on a team called the Angels. So it sounded to me like, you know, like you say, they are talking about God's role in this and talking about praying about this. But at the same time, I'm still unclear on exactly where that all fits with the fact that the Cardinals eventually offered $200 million, and for $45 million extra, it looks like he decided to pack up and go move across the country to a different team.
Let's talk a little bit about another story that you've talked about involving Macy's, a transgendered customer, you can't make this stuff up, and a woman's dressing room, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. I guess there was a customer, a transgender woman, is how the San Antonio Express News described the person had come to try on, I guess, some clothes in a dressing room there at Macy's, and the clerk saw the person going into the dressing room and dressed like a woman, but obviously a man with makeup on, and had, you know, told him, you know, I can't allow you to go in that dressing room, and ended up, the way the story goes, the employee was fired, I guess, for not letting the person use the dressing room, and has now filed an EEOC complaint claiming that her religious rights were violated because, as a Christian, she had a problem with letting the transgender woman go into that dressing room when it was very, in her eyes, clear that it was a man who was trying to go in there.
So how do you evaluate the coverage that was given this story locally?
I thought, you know, it was a full-time religion writer who covered the story, and I thought he handled it about as well as you could do in 800 and something words in a daily newspaper story. He presented this, you know, the religious freedom aspect of it, the workplace policy aspect of it, talked to sources on both sides, talked to the woman who was fired, talked to Macy's spokespeople, pretty much talked to everybody except the customer, and the customer's name wasn't released. So to me, it was just a perfect example of a reporter giving the facts and letting readers pretty much know what's going on, and then you can decide for yourself what you think about the different players involved.
What is this ghost-busting you're talking about when it comes to allowing both sides to express religious views in their own words?
Well, I guess with Get Religion, one of the mantras is that that a lot of news coverage is filled with religion ghosts, where religion is a key aspect of the story, and that the media organization or the reporter just totally ignore that ghost, and you don't see that aspect of the story. And in this case, it could have very easily been a story about workplace issues and the religion aspect just totally ignored, but this reporter didn't do that. He understood that the religious freedom part of this was a key part of the story and played that up very high.
One question out of sheer curiosity, when it comes to writing a story like this that involves someone who is transgendered, male or female, are there any journalistic standards, policies right now that seem to hold sway as to whether to refer to a man dressed up as a woman, or a woman dressed up as a man, or a man and a woman? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great question. And well, you know, typically, you know, different media organizations will have their own policies, but, you know, one of the guiding policies or places that journalists will go and say, how should we do this, is the Associated Press style book, which is sort of the Bible of how to handle different topics and different terminology. And they have an entry in there for transgender that says use the pronoun preferred by the individuals who've acquired the physical characteristics of the opposite sex or present themselves in a way that does not correspond with their sex at birth. So I guess under AP style, the way that this reporter referred to the person as a transgender woman would seem to be the prevailing standard. Although, you know, in some of the comments on the post that we did, people had our readers had a lot of different views on that.
Well, and if you're not going to name the customer, you're going to be forced to use pronouns and make that decision as a reporter, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah. I was not familiar with that AP style, and was kind of, you know, when somebody brought up the issue of, well, how should you describe them or identify them? It was an interesting question, and it caused me to go to the AP style book, and I didn't realize there was an entry like that, but I guess there is.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for joining us this week.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm Todd Wilkin. More issues, etc., after the break.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, etc.